On today's episode of The Good Word, Mark Spears from ESPN joins me to this.
Let's go!
Dylan Harper, Cooper Flagg, 1-2. How did that go?
They're my Megas. We gotta talk Megas.
We're talking Megan Thee Stallion and Klay Thompson. We're talking about the Lakers and Golden State being in a bit of a stalemate with Jonathan Kuminga. All that and a little bit more.
And Megan Thee Stallion.
Welcome to The Good Word. My name is Vincent Goodwill, senior NBA reporter for Yahoo Sports. A bit of business before we get into today's show. We are, of course, on YouTube, so don't forget to rate, review, subscribe to us there, as well as all the places you consume your audio podcast. My guest here at NBA Summer League in Las Vegas at the Concours, Thomas & Mack Center, my man Mark Spears of ESPN's Landscape, my big brother, been covering the league for decades. Mark, I want to get into
at least. Trying to make me sound old.
No. Wait, hold on. Proper introduction. Hall of Famer, Mark Spears. Naismith Basketball Hall of Famer, Mark Spears. Got to give you your propers. Mark, we're going to talk about Golden State. We're going to talk about some of the stuff you've been doing. I want to start today with number one versus number two pick, Dylan Harper, Cooper Flagg. Went at it. Cooper Flagg had 31. Dylan Harper had 16-6. These guys look ready.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, Mark? Don't they look, sometimes you see the number one or two pick and they look like they can't find the rhythm in like prison ball of summer league?
Yeah.
These guys look ready.
Yeah, if you're a Mavs fan hoping to see Cooper Flagg, I'm guessing if you didn't see him today, you're not going to see him.
Right. That was it.
That's a performance where he's done. Yeah. There was this minor scare when he got hit.
Yeah.
Had a tough fall and was holding his wrist a little bit. I know Nico Harrison's here now. He's probably like, this is it for him. Sensational game. And you got to remember, like, he can still stay in practice, but he showed you everything that you needed to see. You know, the one thing I was intrigued by was him bringing the ball up a lot. You know, and that was something, I don't know that we really saw that in the first game. I don't know that was something by design. But he played a lot of point four today, which I kind of dug. Made some nice shots, nice threes, rebounded well. Just showed an all-around game. Showed why he's number one. And then the number two pick, talked to his dad afterwards, Ron Harper.
Yeah.
Said, I ain't worried about that kid. He don't need to be. I want to say the thing I was most impressed by, I mean, obviously he has poise and he could score and finishes very, very well, but he has shot block.
Yeah.
Left that. I haven't seen that in him.
Yeah.
Got Wimby off his seat. Wimby up. Like that was pretty. And whoever the summer league coach is for the Spurs, I think he's doing a fantastic job because he's got these guys, Carter.
Yeah.
Just playing really, really tough defense, but number one or two pick. They're the number one and two pick for a reason.
Now, look, the left-handed block, go back and check that one from Dylan Harper. And with me, with Cooper Flagg, I see the Grant Hill thing now. Like when Jason Kidd was saying, we're going to play him at point forward. He's 6'9", he's big. Mark, he's not blow by you like speed-wise, but he can get to wherever he needs to get to. The jumper was pretty good. He had a couple of exceptional finishes in traffic. And he's one of those guys that even if he's not end-to-end or short space quick, when he gets that motor going, Spears, and gets downhill, he's beating you to the rail.
Yeah.
Like, he has almost like a total package in a way that we didn't expect. Like, you hear about it and everything else, but you got to see him in person. He's bigger than you think. He's quicker than you think.
Yeah.
All that stuff. Like, we can say that he's the great white hope now.
Well, he's great. White, green, purple. I saw him last summer, working out against USA Basketball.
Yeah,
one of the coaches, and he's playing with, I won't call it the JV team, but he's playing against on the USA developmental team. Basically, the team needed to help USA Basketball get ready.
Yeah.
And he was so good that he was the best player on the junior team, one of the coaches told me.
Yep.
He was better than NBA players. He was coachable. He was asking his teammates for insight, wanted to get better. And, you know, keep in mind this. He doesn't turn 19 till December 21st.
Yep. Yep.
My wonder is he done growing? Is he going to grow a little more? Doesn't need to. He's fine in that regard. Joe Gard's in the house, my fishing buddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
My dude. You can't go fishing in Las Vegas, though. But the fact that he's not even 19 years old yet, like, is really, really scary. And
Dallas, baby. He reclassified. You know what I mean? He reclassified to get to college earlier so he can get to the league earlier. And like you said, Dallas, when you look at the roster, you see AD. They got D'Angelo Russell that's going to be the point guard, at least in name only, right? Until Kyrie gets back, if Kyrie plays this season. They look like they could be right in the thick of things tomorrow.
No, you got to keep in mind, like, they got shooters with or without Kyrie, Clay. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Clay on it.
We're going to talk about Clay's reveal. Long range.
Like Clay's reveal. But he has several different shooters there, man, around him. Christie, Clay, D'Lo, Hardy. Shoot, Anthony Davis could shoot. The floor is going to be spread for Cooper Flagg to do business. And he's in a position where he doesn't have to carry the team.
Right.
There's a lot of the guys that could carry the water. Anthony Davis in particular, he's going to learn a lot from him. I don't know. I was thinking about this the other day, and maybe you could debate this with me. I can't think of a number one pick other than maybe Magic Johnson who walked into a more advantageous situation.
Yeah, I think you go down the list. You know, James Worthy came into the league as the number one pick with Magic and Kareem years later. Yeah, immediate impact is going to be that. And like you said, he doesn't have the weight of the world on his shoulders. But you brought up Dylan Harper. But let's make sure that he does not get, you know, sorted here. You did something with him on Ann's tape, you know, just talking about his role and where he is now, the connection with his dad, Ron Harper, 5-time
champion. And his mother. And his he comes from a basketball family.
Mm-hmm.
And he very mature kid, very sharp kid. I'm going to tell you something. I interviewed him a week ago at Chase Center, and he was hurt, so he didn't play on the California Classic. But this dude, who's probably an 19 himself, he was in the cold tub. Like, what 19-year-old goes in the cold tub? Like, that shows you you're coming from some, you know, I don't know if his dad or mom or brother told him to do it, but your brother played in the NBA and plays in the NBA. Your dad was a 3-time champ and played with Kobe and Shaq and Jordan and Pippen, right? And Rodman. And, like, his dad was a very special player. Then his mom even played basketball at the University of New Orleans, so basketball is what he knows.
Mm-hmm.
He's been around the game. He's been around elite basketball IQ knowledge. And as his dad, as Ron told me, he's like, yeah, he going to a place where there's not really any distractions. One thing that Dylan said to me that really stood out is like his respect for the game and the Spurs history. When he worked out there, he saw Pop and he saw Tim Duncan and went up to them. He said, I went and dapped him up, said hello. And he realizes, like, and he's already been, like, getting mentored by Manu Ginobili.
Right.
He's been on Manu Ginobili's hip already. For him to recognize the greatness, recognize the banners, know what he's walking into, know who's playing with, he also, like Hooper, is walking into a situation where there's no initial pressure, really. He's not going to start. He'll come off the bench. Nice 3-man rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Castle, Fox, him. It'll be interesting to see how that works long term because I'm sure he'll want to be a starter, want to be the guy. But walking into San Antonio, which oddly enough, hasn't been to the playoffs since 19, believe it or not.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, it's been a while, but if Wimby's healthy, there's no way they don't make the playoffs next year.
Well, I mean, the play-in at least, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's the West is so deep, and we're going through this sort of transition, I feel like, Mark, a little bit, where the younger teams are going to start to rise. The older teams, you're going to talk about one of those older teams on the back half of the break, the Golden State Warriors. But like you said, with San Antonio, Victor Wembanyama is going to be in year three.
Yeah.
De'Aaron Fox, who they acquired, you know, last year, not realizing they were going to get the second pick in the draft. Stephon Castle, the rookie of the year. And now you add Dylan Harper. It's almost 3 point guards. They large, you know what I mean? And I think you'll remember this, and I brought this up on the podcast before. The last time I remember 3 point guards that could be on the same team, the Phoenix Suns had Steve Nash as a rookie, Kevin Johnson, and Jason Kidd.
It's pretty good.
That's pretty good. And everybody wound up figuring some stuff out later on and in different places. So it doesn't just.
Yeah, because I do wonder about the long term. Oh, yeah. Like, it was Fox end up being the guy that.
Fox's timeline is different than everybody.
Yeah, he's still got to get paid, right? So.
Who's going to pay him?
Hey, this is. Spurs got first world problems.
Yes, they do.
I'm not worried about the Spurs. They got a loaded with talent. Carter, the other rookie.
Yeah.
Carter Williams.
He got after it today.
I mean, to me, he looked like I thought I was watching Sohan for a second, the way he was defended.
Yep.
No, they didn't really give up. I mean, they obviously gave up some players, but they're loaded.
No, I like the move. I'm wondering how they're going to prioritize
playoffs. Wimby's healthy, I think they make it.
Yeah, he makes such a big impact on winning. You can't, like, he's like Jason Voorhees. You know what I mean? Remember Jason Voorhees? Remember the Jason movies where the black guy was like trying to fox Jason? And then he ran away, and then next thing you know, Jason Voorhees is like right there. And
I don't watch scary movies.
I don't watch them either, but I remember that one. But when we come back, I want to talk to Mark about Golden State and maybe their lack of activity during this offseason. Welcome back to The Good Word here with ESPN Landscape's Mark Spears, Hall of Famer Mark Spears. Mark, one team that has been conspicuously quiet has been the Golden State Warriors in free agency. No big moves. You've got Jonathan Kuminga in restricted free agency, which is always a tricky thing. There's Al Horford rumors, another old guy to an old team. They were a team that maybe if Steph Curry doesn't injure his hamstring, maybe they get to the Western Conference Finals. What is their overall outlook when you got Jimmy Butler there, you got Draymond Green there, and you got to figure out this Kuminga situation?
Well, I'm sure Kuminga's in town in Vegas. Supposed to meet with Steve Kerr and Mike Dunleavy Jr. and, you know, try to figure it out. And the Warriors hold all the cards.
Yeah.
Sad to say for Kuminga, man, he just has no power in this. It's a bad market for restricted free agents. Is Cam Thomas signed yet?
No.
Has Giddey signed yet?
No.
This is not a good market. And, you know, it makes you wonder, should these guys bet on themselves, take a qualifying offer, and just bet on yourself? Like, if you're Kuminga, you don't bet on yourself unless you know your role.
Right.
And your role is advantageous. And if, you know, Steve and Mike are honest and the role isn't advantageous, then you're going to have to find a trade for him, or that's what I would do if I was him. You know, I think the thing where they might be kicking himself now is, like, you heard about that, those conversations that he had before last season where maybe he could have signed an extension.
A nice extension.
Where it could have been in the, you know, maybe early 20 millions, right, and something like that. I hear it was preliminary. It wasn't, like, set in stone, but his people were expecting so much more and they kind of bet on him last season.
Right.
And other than December and maybe a game against Houston in the playoffs, it is when GM told me, like, who is he? What is he? Like, he hasn't had an opportunity to prove himself. So
why hasn't it worked there? Like, just from the standpoint of is it all about, from the outside looking in, or, you know, from our relative distance, it looks like if you don't fit in the Stephen Curry system, so to speak, the system that revolves around him,
yeah,
then you don't have a place. Is that what it is?
Is Jimmy a three-point shooter?
No.
Is Draymond a three-point shooter?
No.
I don't think they could have, and then I guess depending on the big, if it was Looney, no.
Right.
Right? Or Jackson Davis, no. Post, yes. Right? But if you have Jimmy and Draymond and Kuminga out there respectfully, that's three non-shooters on the floor with Steph. And I think that is where the difficulty was once Jimmy got there. Jimmy's more of a post guy, a drive guy, kind of like didn't really make fit anymore in their offense revolving around Steph. So, but how did that change now, right?
It didn't fit beforehand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It didn't for years.
Yeah.
And it seems like he and Steve Kerr have never been on the same page.
No, I mean, Steve has a certain player that he's looking for. That's why, like, he liked Gui Santos, which I think people were like, why is Gui Santos playing? Gui also does a lot of the little things, and I think it's more than just shooting. It's basketball IQ. It's playing defense. It's awareness. And Kuminga has a ton of talent. You know what? I watched him with the Ignite. I've been watching him for a long time. I think to play for the Warriors, you have to have a Harvard-like basketball IQ. You have to be the way they do things. If you watch them play, like, they need everybody to be on that kind of page for it to work right with Steph and Draymond. And the Kuminga just hasn't worked right. So I think, respectfully for him, it's probably best for them to figure out another place for him. Another thing is the Al Horford thing. Like, when is this going to be figured out, right? Like, it's 2 weeks in. Nothing's happened. And 2 weeks ago I said, he's going to get a week and figure it out. At what point do the Warriors are like, all right, we got to figure out something different?
They can afford to sit and wait.
Yeah, they can afford to sit and wait, but the longer it goes, it makes me wonder if Al's retired.
Yeah.
The longer it goes, I'm like, maybe he don't want to play no more. Maybe he doesn't want to move his family again. He hasn't played west of Oklahoma City, right?
No, never.
He's almost 40 years old. Maybe he's just like with each passing day to me, it's like,
I got
a nice word early in the week that the Warriors were expecting him to sign this week.
Oh. And the week is up.
The week is up. So, yeah.
I think there's an element of, well, we understand this as writers and we know this. Going back to Kuminga.
Yeah.
Restricted free agency is not hard. It's not advantageous to the players just because no team is going to commit a certain amount of salary to you when they know the incumbent team is just going to mash it.
Yeah.
Like the DeAndre Ayton thing in Phoenix. Like, the Phoenix really want to keep him, who knows? But when Indiana signed him to that offer sheet, they had to match it. Very rarely will teams let an asset walk away without any type of compensation. So they'll hold their nose, they'll sign, they'll match the offer sheet, and then they'll be uncomfortable. And everybody will be uncomfortable.
Well, I mean, the Warriors are not, they're not going to lose the asset. He's still talented.
Right.
You know, maybe his talent doesn't match what the Warriors are doing, but there are a lot of other teams that where it would match and it would fit. And if I'm his agent, I'm trying to find that right fit right now. I kind of maybe move on, you know,
But that's why the qualifying offer thing is tempting.
Yeah.
Because you can have your complete freedom after this season.
If you have a bad season, if you're not playing, then you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, right?
Yeah, so
I think one thing we got to remind ourselves is free agency started July 1st, but training camp doesn't start till October 1st, right? We're getting there's time. I think we get so excited about free agency that we want everything to happen now. Get over it. And then I think us as writers, we just want to go to sleep. We want to go to sleep for 2.5 months. We want y'all to leave us alone. And we either want to go on vacation or go lay in our beds and be unbothered and just not think about basketball for 2.5 months. So we want things to be done so we can move on with our lives.
Right.
Instead of getting calls like, hey now, we got to put you on.
Yeah, something's happening.
Goodwill Podcast, we got to get you on because it still hasn't went down yet. But keep in mind that a lot of big things in recent years have happened late.
Late, yeah, late.
Remember Carl Anthony Towns and Julius Randle? Like,
that happened in September.
Exactly.
Right before training camp began.
I mean, days before, so... It ain't on our timeline, man. It's on the NBA timeline.
I will say this. If you're Golden State, and this thing hasn't worked, right? Like, you've won a championship.
And let's not, like, they do love him.
What's love to do with it, Ike?
What I'm saying is, I don't think they want to do bad by him. He's not a bad dude. Just think it's a bad fit.
It's a bad fit.
Yeah,
and you have to come to terms and realize that it hasn't worked, and you keep, and by prolonging it, you're making it worse for you.
The problem is like, who else is trying to get him? You know? Because you can, I don't know, nobody has money, right? Like, it's just, these restricted free agents right now are in a bad spot. Like, if I'm Cam Thomas, I bet on myself. I know I'm a ball out.
Giddy, I mean, he's in a weirder spot.
Yeah, Giddy too. Like, I'm Cam, I want out of there though, man, right?
Yeah, who gonna take?
He's a great scorer. I'm a Cam Thomas.
No, I know. You're LSU. No, I got you.
Yeah.
So, no, I get that. I just think restricted free agency is such a weird thing just because you don't hold the cards.
No. And that's CBA they signed.
It is. And Fred VanVleet has taken over for CJ McCollum.
Amazing guy. Like, he'll do an outstanding job.
Mm-hmm.
He'll care. He cares.
Yeah.
He'll put the time and energy in. Fred ain't doing it
for vanity.
For his resume. I was actually a surprising choice because I was like, oh, because I know if he's doing this, he's doing this.
It's a labor of love.
Yeah. And so Fred's one of the best people I've met. Like, people, great Tommy Shepard told me, if you're ever waiting for a hug from an NBA player, you're wasting your time. But, like, I remember when I got in the Hall of Fame, I think one of the few players actually texted me.
Oh, wow.
And told me, congratulations, Fred VanVleet.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. When we come back with the last word, we're going to talk about the New World Order in Los Angeles. It is time for the last word here on Good Word with Mark Spears. We are at Thomas and Mack in Las Vegas for NBA Summer League. Mark, two of your colleagues at ESPN, Ramon Shelburne and Brian Windhorst, combined for an article about the Lakers and their change of direction with this being more of a Luka Doncic-led franchise and not a LeBron James-led franchise. Was there, I won't say, does that surprise you? I will say, do you believe that LeBron is shocked that he no longer has the flex that he's had for 22 years?
Gotta be. Sadly, that's a part of every superstar, right? Michael Jordan even got pushed out of Washington in the end. It never usually goes out the way you want. And I just think he's... to me, he's in an advantageous position if he wants to walk away after this season. Obviously, he's going to get paid. His son's taken care of. All-star games in L.A. It's a good time to, like, I don't want to see him like Kobe wasn't Kobe at the end, even though he had a great last game.
Mm-hmm.
He was certainly older. Kareem, I saw Kareem's farewell tour, right?
It's time.
Larry Bird at the end, like, you know, if this is it for LeBron this season, you can't say that you ever really see them on a total decline.
Right.
Right. And Shaq, remember Shaq at the end?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Celtics shooting for him, right? Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if this is it. I'm not saying I know anything. I don't.
Yeah.
But it's like, what are you playing for anymore? Like, you're going to pass Robert Parrish. You got your rings. You'll have your records. Is it worth it for you?
Yeah.
It's easy for me to say because, look, man, if I could go back in time and just play one of my piddly college games, I'd pay anything I could afford to do it. When you're done, you're done. So when you love the game like him, certainly has to be crazy to walk away because this is all you know.
Right.
But Father Time always wins, man. And
sooner or later.
And no matter what your name is, there's always the next act that's coming. And Luka Doncic is that next act. So I think his legacy in L.A. is strong enough now, but he's worthy of a statue. I mean, he got him a championship. He became the all-time leading scorer there.
I mean, I think he's going to get his jersey retired.
Yeah, no question. But he got to be a special player in that uniform. I guess at some point you're like, is it worth it anymore, right? Like, I'm going to leave on top. You're going to get your farewell tour. L.A. All-Star, to me, is the pin. Going there in L.A. and being basically worshipped. It's going to make All-Star, you know, oddly, it's in the Clippers arena, but it's still L.A.
Right, it's L.A.
I wonder if he's wondering if this is it, this is time.
Well, if he wants to go on his own terms.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing. Feeling like you're being pushed out of an organization that you never thought would get someone that they prioritize more than you is a whole other situation that you have to come to terms with that with your own ego.
There's always going to be a younger, shinier light that's going to come along. I don't care who you are.
Comes for it.
Because you were that younger, shiny light at one time too, right? Like there's always...
Still you?
Well, I wasn't talking about you. I was talking in symbolism.
Oh, there we go. Gotcha. Yeah. You're looking at me. I thought you were talking to me more. I'm still...
You're 40?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
All right.
OG, that's OG world.
No, it ain't. I'm still...
I thought when you hit 40, you're OG.
I'm still very...
Okay, has anybody called you that?
No. And you,
never one?
Nope.
Be honest.
Nope.
Nope, you're going to not be honest or nope, it hasn't happened?
No, I've been called Unk. Not OG, I've been called Unk.
Isn't that about the same?
Nah, I feel like OG's a step above. Now, you know who is...
Can you step like an older?
Yeah.
Like, Unk is older than OG.
No, OG's a step above.
All right, you close.
I'm close. Last thing.
You close, OG.
Stop it. Last thing, Klay Thompson just announced on the IG Universe.
Repeat the sentence, though, that, like, listen to the sentence that Vinny just said. Repeat the sentence you just said.
Klay Thompson just announced.
Yeah, not the internet announced or rumors announced.
No. IG, he went IG. This is the couple's weekend. Donovan Mitchell got engaged to Coco Jones.
Yeah.
They announced that. And Klay Thompson has announced that he has a girlfriend.
Megan
B. Stallion. Texas.
Interesting.
Texas has been very good to that young man.
That's interesting. What I want to know is how they met.
It had to be some Texas, right?
I don't know. I mean, Klay's an interesting dude. Really interesting guy. I'm just like, who hollered at who? Was it a DM thing? Were they at Beyonce's concert? Like, did he go to one? Like, how?
It had to be the DMs. It's got to be the DM. Nobody approaches anybody anymore. It's literally only hopping in a woman's DMs.
Yeah.
And if you're verified, I'm sure, you know, it jumps to the front of the line. So.
I want it to be more of a spectacular story than that. I'm going to say... I don't know. They were at Six Flags or something, and they just bumped into each other.
That would be cute.
Yeah, I want it to be like Disney.
That, I mean, yeah, of course.
I want to be matched.
Yeah, and with that, ESPN's Mark Spear, because he just go, you go say that and on a Yahoo.
I'm just saying, I used to work at Yahoo. I got respect for Yahoo.
Hello. You going
to
get me?
Hey, man, Yahoo. Shout out to Yahoo for giving me my first NBA job. Johnny Ludden, thank you.
There we go. And Johnny's still here, and if he's watching, Johnny appreciates you as well. Mark Spears, my brother, Hall of Fame. I appreciate you for joining me, man. Thanks thanks for sticking around today, bro.
Anything for you, bro.
Keep
winning.
That is Mark Spears of ESPN's Anscape. Check him out on NBA Today and all the ESPN platforms. I'm going on vacation, so I will see y'all when I see you. Somewhere.
Is it going to be warm?
Damn straight.
All right.
Everybody be safe.